it. Hi, can I have the ushers just pass the baskets real quick? And if anybody has written any kind of questions, and actually, drop your card in, even if you didn't write it. I want this to be totally anonymous, that everybody just drops a card in. Some might have questions, some not, but just that'll just happen real quick. And so while it is completely true that Gene and I have been married for 37 years now, this is my first wife, my only wife, right? We've been married for 37 years. We've known each other for 39 years, almost like exactly now. But while all of that's true, our story really begins way, way, way before 1980. As a matter of fact, our story begins really at the same time as your story, really as everybody's story. It begins all the way back in Genesis chapter 1. So that's where I want to start today, to look at this. And I want you to, you know, if we're going to talk about marriage, and if we're going to talk about intimacy, then we've got to know what the purpose of marriage is from the very beginning, and where true intimacy comes from, and what it all means, right? And so I want you to think, I know you've seen this and read it over and over again, Genesis chapter 1, but I want you to realize that primarily what's going on in this chapter is it's this overture. It's this epic symphony. It's this incredible epic poem, in a sense, that's really talking all about the joining together of heaven and earth. You can see, let's maybe on the very first slide, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that sets the tone for everything that's about to happen. He's explaining from the start that there's meant to be this joining together, this unity between these seemingly opposite entities or realities. And all the rest of chapter 1, you see this back and forth. You see right from the start about, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. He creates light and darkness. You see how they're kind of opposite? But you know what? If they're not together, then there's no life. So it's as if each morning, darkness has to submit to light. And then in the evening, light submits to darkness to make this one whole beautiful thing. And the rest of the chapter, each day of creation, is saying that in a different way. You've got the sun and the moon, you know, these opposite lights. You have sky and water, these opposite entities that create this whole beautiful planet. You've got the sea and the land, and all of it is leading up to life on this beautiful, amazing planet. That is, I mean, some other religions have sort of tried to phrase it in other ways, like the yin and the yang and all that sort of thing, but it's all kind of rooted in this heart of truth that God is always about bringing heaven and earth together. God's dwelling and the dwelling of humanity together, and that's where we ultimately end up, right? That's how it was supposed to be in the beginning. That's how it ends up in the very end. And in the creation chapter, it really climaxes with the creation of male and female, with man and woman, who are different in a lot of ways, opposite. They're like two halves that together make up the whole image of the Creator God. At least that's what it says in verse 26 of Genesis 1. It says, can we have it? Yep. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like ourselves. Okay? And so, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. Men created in the image of God, and women created in the image of God. And that when these two come together, it reflects something that is majestic and mystic. It's bigger than all of creation. It's pointing to the eventual joining of heaven and earth. Okay. So in Genesis 2:24, are you with me? I don't know. This stuff excites me. But in Genesis 2:24, it says, okay, so chapter 1, all is leading up to Genesis 2:24. Now, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Boom. That's it. Okay, we're out of here. You got it, right? This all explains the whole mystery. what he's trying to say.
They have to understand, Pat is such a big picture kind of person. Stay with us. We're going to get it down to what's going to be a little bit more helpful for us today.
Am I not helping?
You're helping.
Okay. So, that's why God created male and female and says that the two must become one flesh. Super intimacy. That it's in the joining together. That it's marriage is and was always meant to be a witness of the wisdom and the wonder of a God who always meant and will ultimately achieve a joint heaven and earth, a coming together where God's dwelling is with people. Marriage is always meant to be like a symbol, a signpost, a deposit that he really is going to do this thing that he said he's going to do. He really is going to join together these two opposite entities where God's dwelling is here in this perfected paradise one day. So marriage, remember, this is marriage. Marriage is this mysterious metaphor of eternal life and unity between Christ and his wife, his bride, the church. Okay, are we getting closer to familiar ground? So how, if any of that's true, then how is this holy intimacy achieved? How do you achieve marriage? How does your marriage, if you're married, if you plan to be married, if you've ever been married, how does marriage become this incredible, holy, mysterious, majestic thing that is a witness to the glory of the Creator God and his infinite wisdom? How does intimacy happen? Okay, here's the answer to that question. In the New Testament, in Ephesians 5:21, we get the answer. This is it. Ready?
Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husband as to the Lord.
And for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave up his life for her.
As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one.
Now, this is a great mystery because, Genesis 1. This is a great mystery. But it is an illustration of the way that Christ and the church are one. So, in this passage, which this is the whole thing that we're going to talk about the rest of our time this morning, in this passage, in saying submit to one another out of your reverence for Christ, he's saying it's an act of worship, this mutual laying down of your life, this mutual submission. It's this acknowledgement of a creator God who takes two very different and seemingly at times opposite forces and joins them into this peaceful, united, harmonious thing that really is proof of his existence, his glory, and his ultimate victory.
So intimacy has to start with self-denial, or nothing is going to help. And I know that's not what we want to hear. I know that's not a fun message. But I can tell you from experience, it's the thing that works. Now, we are really good friends. We enjoy being together. I like him. We work together. Our hobbies are all similar. We spend a lot of time together because we love it. But I have to tell you, it wasn't always like that. For the first 10 years of our marriage, I was thinking, I didn't maybe choose very well, did I?
I can hear you.
He's so different from me. This is hard. So I thought, well, I got married because I liked him, and I thought he was kind of nice, and so we're going to make a go of this. And so I was doing everything in my power to make a go of this. And for me, it's things like sending him little cards and notes about how much I love him and appreciate him. And I wasn't receiving any of those back. I thought, what's wrong with this husband of mine? What he
I
was
would just take him and throw him away. It didn't mean a thing to me.
Because what he was, I know.
Right.
What he was doing, he would come home and he would do the laundry, or he would do the dishes, or he would make sure the car was filled with gas. I felt what I did with those things was, gosh, he thinks I'm a failure. He doesn't think I do a very good job. It wasn't until 10 years into this mess when we found out what you probably already know, this idea of love languages, and found out that I'm a words of affirmation person. So I'm just dying. I'm so empty because that is not his natural language.
No, that's just bragging and that's just being fake.
So says he.
Yeah.
So, and his primary love language is acts of service. So he's doing all this stuff to let me know he loves me. And I'm thinking, what I'm hearing is, I'm not a very good wife. It's doing the exact opposite of what I needed. So through a lot of pain, a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of things that were not good ensued from us both being so empty. When we found out about this, the most amazing, life-changing thing for me was to find out that different doesn't mean wrong. He had one view of life, I had another view of life, and it didn't have to be one person's right and one person's wrong. Does that sound a little familiar? We're beginning to understand this idea of mutual submission. We had to learn that for one person to get their way didn't mean that the other person was the loser. It wasn't a right and wrong. It wasn't a winner and loser situation. So we started kind of this subconscious contest to submit to each other. Case in point is, though I love dogs, I've never really wanted to have a dog because dogs take a lot of money, they take a lot of work, they're a big mess, and we're gone a lot, and I feel so overwhelmingly responsible for making sure that dog is entertained and happy, and oh my gosh.
It's true.
But I know that he really, really, really wanted a dog. So guess what? We have a dog. And because I submitted myself to him, the result is not that I'm mad and always pointing it out whenever the dog needs any help. I love that dog. It has brought me so much joy in my life. God knew that was going to happen, and he blessed me with that reaction for my willingness to submit myself.
Right. And so it goes both ways, right? It's submit to one another. That is the whole main idea of all the examples that follow under that. And I know that that's been obscured and blurred in a lot of arenas and teachings and stuff, but it says submit to one another. So, like, for example, I like action-type movies, I like, comedies, things like that. But my wife likes things like Anne of Green Gables. So, submit to her as an act of worship. Gene, let's watch, Anne with an E, or let's go to Nova Scotia, let's go to actually Prince Edward Island, to the Green Gables house. Let's do that and let's tour around. It was an act of submission on my part. It was not what I wanted to do or what I was interested at all, but I did that because I trust Jesus, because God is good and he says submit to one another. Guess what? Anne rocks. Who knew? We went to the Downton Abbey movie. It was awesome. You see, we're afraid that by sacrificing our way that we're going to lose out. And it just doesn't happen like that. We are enriched because God's in it. Out of reverence for Christ, when we sacrifice, there's power.
So as we began to learn this way of life, not how can I get my way or how can I teach him that he's wrong, but viewing us as on the same team, one of the most important exercises, one of the most important things that we learned that we did was when we had a disagreement, we wouldn't face each other like this, because the problem wasn't with him. The problem was out here. It was something outside of us. For instance, when I can't even think of an example because this is such an old thing. But we'll say Pat liked to get hot sauce out at every single meal when our kids were little. And I like to have the rule that they didn't have to put hot sauce on everything because they would end up putting too much and throwing it out or complaining or whatever. Now, Pat wasn't the problem.
Right.
The difference of opinion in the hot sauce was the problem. So we would kind of visualize the problem out there and come up with something that we could both live with. It was a win-win situation, even though we didn't both get our complete way. Hot sauce didn't come out at breakfast. That's what we did.
Yeah, and I can live with that. Yeah, it's a loving... I mean, I know that these seem like silly, mundane examples, but that's what life is. It's not the big stuff most of the time. It's day after day, the little things, where it's just, nope, my way or the highway, you're doing it my way, and everything falls apart. This really is the secret, you guys. And it's not just for marriage. It's for every relationship. If you're a follower of Jesus, his example was laying down his life for the good of others. Right? And that's totally countercultural. We are told exactly the opposite. You're going to be a doormat. People are going to take advantage of you. I don't know what to tell you, except if you're going to follow the God of the Bible, it really is a life of submission, sacrifice, putting other people's needs before your own.
And it works.
Yeah.
Jesus knew what he was talking about. It's counterintuitive. I want to tell you that this year, 2019, sucks. This has been the worst year of my life, and I'm not going to go into all the ins and outs of it, but sad to say, that's true for Pat as well.
Yeah.
Worst year of our lives, and we're empty, and we're hurting, and we're burnout, and lots of stuff going on, and it's been hard. What I want to do in and of myself, if this was just the Gene show, I would want to isolate, and I want him to fend for himself. I don't have any energy for myself, let alone for him, so good luck there. And I know the same is true for him.
Sure.
And so we experienced this exact thing not all that long ago. We were in a car trip, and we're both kind of miserable and kind of mad at the other person in a way for not being able to make us feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're in the car, and we're just sitting there, and finally we said, well, we can talk. Ugh. Ugh.
Right. And it doesn't count to talk about, you know, what are we going to have for dinner? What, you know, what? Who's going to take the dog out? None of that stuff. It has to be real conversation.
We had to ask each other, how are you?
Yeah.
What's going on with you? And the reason we hadn't been doing that was because we didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Because we love each other enough that we would want to help the other person but not have anything in us to do. But God is so amazing. He's so right. He's so exactly perfect in this. Our simple act of submitting to each other and having a conversation, even when we didn't want to, when I probably wasn't going to like what he was going to say, he probably wasn't going to like what I was going to say, we did it anyway. We were able to both admit, not doing well. Everything's a chore. Everything's hard. Can't think of anything good. Just the very act of doing that brought intimacy into
right.
our lives.
Right.
My heart was softened again, and I was ready to say, I'm in this with you. And what we found since then is God in his just generosity. When Pat is not doing very well, when he's feeling very empty and very low, I, surprisingly, am doing okay. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
When I just can't stop crying, Pat is doing great. That's not on us. Better than me.
Yeah.
That's the goodness of God in our lives because we put this stuff into practice. We believe him even when nothing looks like it's going to work, or that's correct.
Yeah. And so, honestly, that's the only formula we have. I mean, I know everybody likes, you know, quick answers, and how do you improve and achieve intimacy in a marriage? And that's basically it. Just die to yourself, deny yourself, take up your cross. Gee, that sounds familiar. But it's this whole attitude of trusting God enough that he knows what he's doing, and that he will take care of you if you pour yourself out for the other person. And that's good stuff, no matter whether you're married or if your marriage is broken or whatever. I know oftentimes the thing comes up of, well, but my spouse isn't on the same page as me. You know, is he or she isn't going to do that, is not going to mutually submit or put my needs before my spouse or before me or whatever. They're just not going to do that. So I don't have to either, right? Well, I mean, if you want any sort of peace of mind or sanity, do it anyway. It still works when working means as an act of worship to God. I mean, what if Jesus said, you know what? The vast majority of people aren't going to want to follow me anyways. I ain't going to that cross. I'm not sacrificing myself, right? Why would I do that? They're not going to play. But he did it anyway, didn't he?
Amen.
And it was good. This is good, even when it's hard, really hard.
So an encouragement, I think, I would end with is, whenever you're feeling like you're in conflict, especially with a spouse, it can work with any relationship, it really can, but especially with a spouse, if you're feeling that conflict, I would encourage you that the first question you ask yourself is, what can I do to submit myself to him? In what area can I deny myself for him? Because I love Jesus, because I trust Jesus, because I follow Jesus. I can do that. I don't have to assert my rights or tell him, hey, I submitted to you last time, so it's your turn to submit to me.
Yeah.
We're not keeping score. That's the opposite of what we're talking about, though it is our human tendency.
Yeah.
So if there is a conflict, if you're just not feeling close, you're going to need to have some time with Jesus to say, what can I do here? How can I show, and even if you're not feeling love toward your spouse, because we've had those years also, because I love Jesus, what can I do to love Jesus and Pat? Do you see how that's different than I'm going to assert my rights and I need to let him know what's what?
So we would just encourage you to just try it. Just practice in any arena, in any area of your life, hobbies, preferences. You know, try this in sex. Try putting the other person's needs first. Wow! You will not be disappointed. This is true in every single area of life. And it's counterintuitive and it doesn't make sense, but it smells like God to me. So here, we've got just a minute for a couple questions.
We're going to do a couple questions. One question is, should spiritual intimacy and time alone with God and your spouse together be the foundation or common practice? I'm going to say yes, it should be. We're not real good at that.
Mm.
We don't spend a lot of time praying together or reading our Bibles together. But we do come together and share what we've been praying about and what we've been reading. And so putting the word should in there in that question, yes and no.
It works both ways.
Yeah.
I guess we would say about that, right?
Yeah, but don't beat yourself up if that's not something that's happening in your relationship. And don't think because you didn't do that, that's a thing that made your marriage fail or something like that. It's not that easy.
Right.
Submitting to one another is much more important than actually having a devotional time together, though it's good.
Yeah,
we just aren't real good at it.
It can improve intimacy and all that sort of thing. And so, yeah, we would encourage that, but also exactly what you just said. If not, apparently it still works after 37 years, okay? But then again, we're talking about God all the time together in our normal conversations. So
this is an interesting question to me. When is connecting about your day gossip with your spouse?
Good question.
And I would say it can very easily get to that. It really is dependent on your heart and your attitude. Are you trying, and be honest, are you trying to have your spouse think negatively about the person that you want to talk about? Are you trying to get your spouse on your side?
Right.
then don't do it. Maybe you could tell the story without mentioning any names. And we can't even, because we work together.
Yeah, but we'll even try to do that. We'll even preface it with, I'm not going to say who this is, or if it feels like it might slip into gossip, then the other person will say, I don't want to know who this is. Mm-hmm. I want to hear your frustration in your heart and help with that, but please don't tell me who this is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if it happens to get past that, a real quick, wonderful question that you can ask is, how did that make you feel? Turn it back on your spouse because they're trying to connect with you. So it really is about how they felt.
Yeah. I think we're out of time.
Oh,
I know.
I don't want to be out of time. There's
good,
so questions good
questions
here.
Yeah. Let's pray. Maybe we can do that, okay? Yeah, so the band comes up, right? And we'll kind of go into ministry time. And I think maybe there's probably several things that we can do, but...
I just want to say something really quick.
Yeah, of course.
If any of you who wrote questions that you want to come up and talk to either one of us privately about your question, we would
sure.
love to answer. We'll stick around a little bit after church.
Okay. Okay.
We
sure.
will.
Yes. Okay, you'll feed us though, right?
Yes. Do
okay.
I know what that means?
You don't need to.
Okay.
Yeah. Just trust him. Yeah. So, do you typically sing first, or do you do ministry first? Go ahead. All right. So, this isn't the Pat and Gene show, and we don't really have anything to offer, but we know who does. The God who has taken us through the valley of the shadow of death many times in our marriage is your God too. And I know there's lots of probably hurt and pain over relationships or not being married or all this stuff. I just want to acknowledge that there's probably a lot of pain in the room. Marriage is not the ultimate expression of the glory of God. You don't have to be married in order to feel like you're complete. So let's just say that right off the bat, okay? But maybe what we can do, if anybody just, if you're married and you just want a blessing, whatever that means, we can give you that. God has freely given us such grace and such blessing over all these years, and we can share that. So we can pray for it if you want that. What else? For anybody that's just feeling kind of dry and lonely, I think the team is available to pray just for that. You know, we all need companionship and friends, and sometimes we feel like we don't have either, which is not true. You've got a church full of wonderful people wanting to be friends and be close. If you're not married or your marriage isn't that, the team would pray for that too. Can you think of anything else? Yep. Okay. How about if we just stand and worship, and Gene and I will hang out over here a little bit. We'd be happy to pray for anybody. We've got the team over here. Anything that you need or want prayer for, just jump right in.